speaking of hangry, we got something going on the Truth Network that's going to help the world not be so hangry.
Yeah, he's talking about just needing God's word. He said, please help the Truth Network send Bibles to Africa. And we know that they need God's word. We have until the end of the month, just $5 gets a Bible in the hands of a poor impoverished believers all over the African continent with the help of the Bible League. Just $5. Just think about that, Robbie. Just $5. So please give. If you can give more than $5, man, we'd love for you to do it. And the number to call is 1-800-YES-WORD. 1-800-YES-WORD.
1-800-YES-WORD.
This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master's of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
If we're under the gospel of grace, why do so many Christians do so much talking about sin?
Because we still sin. Under the law means the obligation to keep the law in order to be saved. We know that's not the case. We're justified before God by grace in Christ. That's Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5. But the issue is that we still struggle against our sin, as Paul the Apostle did, Romans 7:18 through 25. He talks about that. So it's just a reality that we have, and there needs to be a balance. So we need to trust in the grace of God more than we worry about our sin. But any sin we commit, we must be aware of it and repent of it.
Number 5.
What's your understanding regarding the incarnation and metaphysics behind it? And at what point did God, sort of the spirit, become one with the flesh? And where did that spirit dwell?
The Bible does not tell us when this union occurred exactly. And so we don't have to answer it, because that is our answer. We just don't know. He hasn't told us. And when Muslims talk about the problem of the incarnation, I'll say, is the Quran, according to what you believe, is the Quran the word of God, the truth of God? Yes. Is it in material form? Well, yes. Well, then why can't God himself become a human in material form? You'd ask the same question of them, of the Quran. When exactly does the Quran become God's word? After one sentence is written, after one word is written, one letter, when does it occur? You can ask the same kind of questions. They can't answer the questions. And because we can't answer the questions doesn't mean it's not true, logically speaking.
Number 4.
I got a question about child rearing, about discipline. What does the Bible say?
All discipline must be consistent and done for the glory of God. And that may sound odd, but the idea of disciplining a child, whatever direction that must be and the means that it must be, for the purpose of it training the child in righteousness. And for some kids, you look at them sternly, and that's all that's necessary. And for others, you got to vacuum pack them, seal them, put them on with Velcro on a ceiling, and hose them down before they get the message, you know? And so the parent has to abide in the discipline that's appropriate, but never to a level of abuse, because what might be for one child abusive might not be for another. But I think the key is not to frustrate your children. Don't want to frustrate them through inconsistency.
Number 3.
I was in Southern California, went to Melody Land, which is no longer there. It's across the street from Disneyland, and I used to go there and listen to Walter Martin. But one day I went to a church service, and this pastor guy would get up and do all this stuff, and everybody hyped up. And I'm like, this is just hype. So he put his hand on different people's foreheads, and they would just fall back. Well, I couldn't see everything until I got to the guy just to my right. And then I watched, and this guy to my right was so eager. You could just see he was just smiling and just fidgety and eager. As soon as the guy's hand even went near his forehead, I saw him fall back himself. And I said, oh, this is fake. And then the guy got to me and he pushed my forehead back. And I'm standing there. And he did it like 3 times. And I'm just standing there. And he went on to the next person. And then I'm the only one left standing up. Not that that makes doctrine true or false or anything. But that's what... That's my experience with it. And if God wants to knock me down, he can do it.
Number 2.
Hey, and let me ask you a question. Have you had Greek?
Yeah.
Okay, can you parse the verb ame? Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I can't. I haven't had Greek. All the stuff in front of me right
so
now.
So hold on a sec. Hold on. You said you had Greek. You took Greek. So I asked you to parse,
yeah,
which is a
Greek.
Well, wait a second.
It's been a few
hold on.
Years.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. You want me to keep you? I'm just going to have to shut you up. If you're going to talk like this while I'm trying to talk to you, I'm going to keep you quiet. my radio show, not yours. Now, I'm going to try you one more time. Now, I asked you if you knew Greek or had taken Greek. You said yes. Your first 2-3 weeks of Greek, you learn what it means to parse. Eimi is the verb to be. To parse eimi is present active indicative first person singular. That is basic, basic Greek. So you're telling me you had
right.
Greek, but you
I
don't know.
I took Greek 9 years ago.
I took it, I graduated in 1991. All right, that's 30
and
years
I don't
ago.
I don't use it in my everyday work.
And neither do I. Now, stop making excuses.
Number one. Have you ever had an instance in your life when God was just silent? He's not giving me any direction. I just kind of feel like he's on vacation.
Yeah, well, I've had it happen. Yeah, it lasted about 5 years.
And what did you do?
Here's the analogy I give. I went into this desert. And I had my compass, I had my head, I had, you know, my cell phone, and I walk into this desert, and this is the desert where God doesn't talk to me for some reason. And I find out that I don't need this, and I drop that away, and I don't need that, and I get rid of that. When I came out of the desert, one thing was left, my faith and trust in Christ. For me, that desert was to strip everything away so that I realized my faith was just in Jesus. Then I start hearing, so to speak, in that vague way we talk about as Christians, from the Lord. So maybe the same kind of thing is going that way for you, that he wants to strip things out of your life. And if God is not speaking to you, it's for a good reason. Just ask him what it is. And if he doesn't tell you, because you're in a desert, just keep moving forward. And what happens is your faith is usually purified, and it's worth it.
And now, the end is near.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say adieu.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.